My guest at this time is David Kapelian. He is the Vice President and Managing Editor for WND. His brand new book is The Snapping of the American Mind, Healing a Nation Broken by a Lawless Government and a Godless Culture. And David, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Well, we see stories all the time that drive not only conservatives mad, but people who just thought that they were pretty well steeped in common sense. And just this week, we've had a couple of instances that make people bang their head against the counter, probably even more than a couple. But here's a couple that raised their head. One over the weekend, Hillary Clinton complaining that Bernie Sanders was saying that she was shouting about her position on gun control. Here's what she said.
I've been told to stop, and I quote, shouting about gun violence. Well, first of all, I'm not shouting. It's just when women talk, some people think we're shouting.
So she is basically playing the gender card there against Bernie Sanders. And then over on MSNBC, someone referred to likely incoming House Speaker Paul Ryan as a hard worker. And Melissa Harris-Perry, a host over there, had this to say.
Alfonso, I feel you, but I just want to pause on one thing, because I don't disagree with you that I actually think Mr. Ryan is a great choice for this role. But I want us to be super careful when we use the language hard worker, because, I mean, I actually keep an image of folks working in cotton fields on my office wall, because it is a reminder about what hard work looks like. So I feel you that he's a hard worker. I do, but in the context of relative privilege. And I just want to point out that when you talk about work-life balance and being a hard worker, the moms who don't have health care, who are working but we don't call them hard workers. We call them failures. We call them people who are sucking off the system. No, really, y'all do. That is really what you guys do as a party.
That is very unfair.
So a hard worker could potentially be a racist or a sexist term, and being accused of shouting is sexist. So, David, what kind of world are we living in? In the book, you kind of refer to it as a bizarro world.
Yeah, I have to say the MSLSD anchor there is just a traumatized person living in some other world. Look, all the slaves have been dead for more than 100 years. Okay, we need at some point to get over it. This is why by Ben Carson, who is black, is so refreshing to people, because he is a person who, as he tells his story over and over again, he says, my mom, who had a third grade education, would not allow us to be victims or to make excuses. So he learned early on, you know what, there is a God, America is the greatest country on earth, don't complain, don't blame other people, you've got the whole world and your whole life ahead of you, and look at what he did with his life. And sadly, we have a lot of people that are living in this very sad, very angry world. And, you know, Greg, one of the themes of my book is that the left is dependent on making people angry and dependent on them and needing them. All you have to do is look at the most broken people in society, and you see that's the voting bloc. You want to get really hardcore? That's who is voting for somebody like Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. I mean, God bless Donald Trump. He referred to Bernie Sanders as a communist maniac, okay? Hillary Clinton, she, you know, we asked the question, how can the, whatever it is, 40-plus percent back Hillary Clinton? They know that her overt dishonesty over the decades, her criminality, lying about, not just lying about Benghazi and compromising American security by having all of our top secrets on her private email server in someone's bathroom, all the rest of it. We hear it day after day. And the people that are polled say, yeah, we know she's a liar. We know she's an irresponsible person, but we still want her, okay? So you have to ask the deeper question, what is wrong with this 40-plus percent of people that can see a lying, changeling chameleon? I mean, even Washington Post had a piece describing Hillary Clinton as a, quote, shapeshifter, unquote. So my book gets into what is it about this 40-plus percent of people that support her.
Well, you talk in the book, David, about how there's a lot of different contributing factors. There's kind of a Marxist indoctrination that's come through, as you contend, through academia, through our media culture that has certainly endorsed that to some extent. There's an endorsement of the drug culture, and as you just mentioned, a victimhood culture that's been promoted to some extent. But how did it all converge at the same time? As you say in the book, it seems like this all happened in a big blur, even though it's really been building into this. But throughout the decades leading up to this, the American people have largely put a stop to this just through their own understanding of what's right and wrong. But it doesn't seem to be working anymore. What happened?
Yes, that's exactly right. The chapter two, the blur, basically tells the whole story of the underground history of the United States of America, of its basically left-wing infiltration and subversion that we don't hear about in academia, because those same people are in charge of academia. But you know, the whole progressive left thing goes back more than 100 years, going back after the Civil War era. And I explain how the blur is my metaphor for what we've lived in since the 1960s, meaning we don't really understand what's happened to us and what has been leading us and where it's been leading us to. We've just been changing very rapidly over the last few decades, and most people don't really understand why. I name all the players and I show the whole lineup and how it's happened. However, Greg, in the age of Obama, with the election of Obama and the re-election of Obama in 2012, we've really moved into a new phase of this, because the cultural Marxists, the Frankfurt School, and all the various players who said, we will take over the institutions, we'll take over the colleges, we'll take over the news media, even many of the churches, which it's undeniable that they have, they said the last piece to fall in place will be government itself. And that's what happened in 2008 with the election of, can we just say it, a Marxist revolutionary. I loved it. Monica Crowley was on the radio recently. She's a very smart gal and a Fox News regular. She said, Obama is not a Democrat. He is a Marxist revolutionary. This is not, you know, some right-wing voice on the radio. You have to look up in the dictionary, what does it mean, Marxist? What does revolutionary mean? And it is a clinically accurate description of who and what Barack Obama is and has been for a long time. In fact, Greg, I would challenge people to go to cpusa.org, that's the Communist Party USA's website, and just spend 10, 15 minutes looking it over, click on the various tabs, read their positions on issues, and I defy you to find any significant difference between today's Communist Party, forget socialist Bernie Sanders, Communist Party USA, and today's Democrat Party. And you will see why Debbie Wasserman Schultz looked like a deer in the headlight when Chris Matthews said, well, Debbie, what is the difference between a Democrat and a socialist today? He said, well, I really think the answer should be, what's the difference between a Democrat and a Republican? And she was asked two subsequent times and couldn't answer it, because there is no difference. So this is the world we're living in. But what I'm doing in the book, Greg, is I'm showing that this madness that we're describing on the outside, you know, in the country, the big strokes, the wealth redistribution and the change of our economic system and the change of our healthcare system, is reflecting in the individual problems and brokenness and pathology of individual Americans. And I show, and the statistics are absolutely heartbreaking, 110 million Americans with a sexually transmitted disease, 130 million Americans that are dependent on mind-altering substances just to get through life. I can go on and on. The statistics are absolutely breathtaking. It sounds like everybody in the country is addicted and miserable and depressed. One in four middle-aged women are taking antidepressants today. And now I want to just bring it full circle back. Who are these 40-plus percent that are voting for a person like Hillary Clinton or a complete insane person like Bernie Sanders, who at least believes what he says? Everybody knows Hillary Clinton is a shapeshifter and just says whatever she can get to election. She's just a sociopath. She has no principles. She just loves power. So how can people not see that? How can they be so blinded? How can Americans not see that? I'm saying These are the most broken people in America. The most miserable, dependent, damaged, broken people are the people who resonate with Hillary Clinton. And the normal people are hoping to elect a truly decent person as president. That is the spectacle we see on stage right now.
When it comes to resisting this blur, this tide, this avalanche, whatever word you want to use for it, you say one of the difficult things is how to respond to it, because what those who are perpetrating this want to do is to have those who oppose it either burn out, blow up essentially, and have a meltdown that definitely hurts their cause in the public square, or just quit because they realize that the deck is stacked too far against them. So talk a little bit about that motivation and how you can effectively fight back when it seems like the numbers are definitely on the side of those in power right now.
Well, Greg, I have an entire section in the book toward the end with a multifaceted approach on what we can do to fix this. I mean, the subtitle of the book is Healing a Nation Broken by a Lawless Government and Godless Culture. But I would say the one thing that is least talked about and probably the most important that I could just say quickly on an interview is that if you just read a few pages into Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, you will understand that all of this, maniacal, the modus operandi of the left is utterly dependent on people flying into a rage, as you said, and overreacting and becoming full of anger and fury at what is being done to them. And it's very difficult not to be upset over what's going on in the country. I'm talking about for normal, traditionally minded, Judeo-Christian, American, whatever you want to call us, conservatives, who grew up in a different country and see this madness going on. Hundreds of sanctuary cities and the borders wide open and people, men cutting off their private parts and then proclaiming that they're women. And we see all this sheer madness and we say, what do we do? And it is very easy to be upset about it. Don't, okay? It's not just not a good idea. It's not just that you're not at your best when you're full of fury and anger and rage and you're overreacting. You don't have God's grace then. You don't have the wisdom that you need to deal with difficult situations like this. Understand that those guys who are really in the grip of dark forces themselves, they don't understand. They need and want you to overreact. It is absolute requirement, and I have whole sections of the book. There's a chapter 4 called Chaos Theory on brainwashing, American style, that shows that the left cannot succeed. This is a war for them. They cannot succeed over a virtuous people unless people become so angry and so broken. And by the way, let's be just honest here. Any good psychiatrist will tell you that anger and rage has a huge part in depression. Depression is not just, I've contracted some like illness like the flu. A lot of it has to do with anger turned inward and hopelessness. And so we tend to drug ourselves in this country. 260 million prescriptions for antidepressants in one recent year. That sounds like everybody in the country is taking this. We don't need to. We need to find God's grace. We need to wake up from this trance, and we need to stand up to it. We need to do it with grace. Think Ronald Reagan.
David, fascinating book. As you mentioned throughout the book, a lot of different challenges, a lot of different elements working together to challenge what was once America a lot of us knew and has changed very radically in a very short period of time. But as you've just explained, hope and light at the end of the tunnel potentially as well. So thanks very much for your time. Good luck with the book.
Thanks, Greg.
David Kapelian is the Vice President and Managing Editor at WND. The brand new book is The Snapping of the American Mind, Healing a Nation Broken by a Lawless Government and Godless Culture. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.